Mazzara and Parra project to Amawara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bandits scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garanado.
Teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alazric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
We are getting you ready for Fantasy Week 8, everybody. What's going on? Adam Azer with Scott White and Chris Towers here on this Fantasy Baseball Today, Kokomo Friday. Scott, Happy Kokomo Friday. Big weekend plans, sir?
Oh, not for me. No. No big weekend plans.
What'd you get your wife?
Except, of course, yeah. What's happening on Sunday.
Yeah, well, there's that. But did you get your wife a nice Mother's Day gift?
Yeah, I guess that's happening, too. yeah, I mean, I've been working with my kids on their Mother's Day gift, too. So, okay. Yeah, we're all ready to go for that.
Yes. Chris? Did you get your wife a nice Mother's Day gift?
No. No, because she is not a mother.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have two cats and a dog. Oh. But I don't think that quite counts.
Mother
I don't know what
dog.
The exchange rate is.
No, it doesn't count. Well, sorry. Awkward. So, who's your favorite two-start pitcher? Owned in less than 70% of leagues for next week. What's that grunt about? Not a good week?
There are some interesting options with good matchups, but they are guys who are not necessarily a great pitcher. Like Mike Fiers has at Seattle, at Detroit. It's pretty good matchups. I know he's coming off a no-hitter, but you know, Mike Fiers has thrown a no-hitter before, and it did not magically turn him into a very good pitcher. And Reynaldo Lopez, another one who has really good matchups and has shown some signs this season, but they've been really sporadic. I think he's coming off, if not his most recent start, the one before that was just awful. But he's versus Cleveland and versus Toronto, so I guess he's my pick because there's big strikeout potential.
Yes, it was two starts ago against Boston. That was terrible. His previous start for Reynaldo Lopez was Cleveland, six, not exactly good. Six innings, nine hits, three runs, one walk, two strikeouts. But
that's Reynaldo Lopez.
Yeah, I am forced to start him in a two-start week. Scott, I think I know who you're going to say.
Kyle Gibson,
Angels and Mariners. Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited to get him in my lineup. And I actually think it's a pretty good week for two-start streamers, if that's the way, if that's what floats your boat, especially if you use 80% as the cutoff instead of 70, like you chose, but
80. Yeah. Who uses 80?
Yeah.
That's like
why is it any more cheating to use 80 instead of 70?
Oh, I don't.
And obviously, a lot.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows that. We don't have to.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
It's 70%, not 80%.
Usually, when you look at the ownership percentages and you go by position, the big drop, where it goes from being a bunch of players owned in this many or more, or you know, fewer owned in that
Look, Scott,
is 80. It's 80.
You can't argue with natural law. It's 70.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for pointing that out. All right, so Kyle Gibson might be the winner here. Brandon Woodruff is 75% owned. Jared Eichhoff is 73% owned. So those would be good options. Tyler Skaggs, if you want a bad pitcher right now. Sonny Gray, if you want another guy who's been bad and who has terrible matchups. But, yeah, okay, there are some good options. Hopefully one of those guys sneaks through the waiver wire, is available in your leagues. And then, of course, we'll get into the full list later on in the show. I was going to give you a weekend streamer, but I ran out of time this morning. So if you give me some time, I will have weekend streamers for you at the end of the show, and that'll be great. We have CBS Sports HQ, our free 24/7 streaming service, and we're going to be on it on Sunday from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., and it's going to be awesome. So make sure you check it out. So that's on CBS Sports HQ. Download the CBS Sports app on your Amazon Fire, on your Roku, on your Apple TV, on wherever you watch your apps. CBS Sports app, everything is free, and we'll start streaming CBS Sports HQ. And look, right now, it's great. They cover everything. You got highlights. You got analysis. You got smart analysis, not the fake arguments that you see on the other TV stations. And Sportsline.com, Sportsline.com. Go to Sportsline.com and get some PGA championship picks and stuff like that. And I gave you the spiel yesterday, I believe. I think that was actually on the football podcast. But let me get you the promo code. Here it is. Swing. There it is. I think it was buying time. The promo code is swing. Go to Sportsline.com. We have great golf coverage and coverage of every other sport. And that's your first month for only $1. Promo code is swing, first month for a buck. All right, I'm feeling a little goofy today. I've got some goofy headlines. Hunter Pence, none the richer, is the first one. Add me. Hunter Pence should have had 2 home runs last night, which would have given him 4 in his last 3 games, but Josh Reddick robbed him in the 9th inning. But, boy, Hunter Pence, 17% owned. He is red hot. He's earning more playing time. Is he earning a spot on your roster? Scott White.
I mean, he hasn't quite earned enough playing time that I'm picking him up in a standard size league, but the numbers have been really good. And he is the guy who worked this offseason to adjust his swing, worked with hitting guru Doug Latta. That's one of the well-known ones who has, I don't remember which one he's known for working with, JD Martinez or Justin Turner, one of those hitting gurus who pulled somebody's career out of nothing and made them something. Though I will point out, in terms of line drives versus fly balls versus ground balls, it doesn't look like that's changed so much, but he's hitting the ball incredibly hard, Hunter Pence is, and probably deserves more playing time given the alternatives on that team. So I'm definitely interested in seeing where this goes. But right now, no, he's mostly playing against lefties.
Okay.
You know, after I saw that he had homered in 2 straight games, and then he homered again yesterday, I was like, there he goes. There he goes again.
Yeah. That was a cover, though, so that's why I didn't go with that.
I think it's a cover by the lead singer's dad. I'm like 72% sure.
Really?
Well, I think I saw that on pop-up video.
Pop-up video. Wow. Okay, he's 17% owned. How owned should Hunter Pence be? Should he be 30% owned?
I don't think so, no.
All right, let's do the add-o-meter. Let's see who we do want to add. Wade Miley is 50% owned. Chris Bassett is 43% owned. Who's higher on the add-o-meter, Wade Miley or Chris Bassett?
I probably Bassett. I don't really buy into what he's doing, and it's worth noting the swinging strikes have been down in the past 2 starts, but this is now two of his last 3, I think, with 7 innings, 9 strikeouts, and you're just not seeing that kind of stuff from a guy on waivers very often. I do think, I'm trying to make sure I got this figured out right last night, but he's very likely a 2-start pitcher next week, Bassett, because of the way the off day lands for the Athletics. They tend to skip Aaron Brooks on those days, so it looks like Bassett could be a Tuesday, Sunday 2-start pitcher.
Oh, interesting, which would give him Seattle and Detroit, I believe, next week.
Here's a quote from Chris Bassett talking about his performance so far this season. He credits going through Tommy John surgery and not having his stuff in the aftermath of that, learning to pitch with more than just his fastball, and now the fastball velocity's back up, and that's all great, but when asked about strikeouts, do I think it's probably going to keep up like this? Probably not. But at the same time, I think I can punch a lot of guys out all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I struggle with it. I think his career strikeout rate is right around 7 per 9, I think. And his previous career high was 7.7. So I have trouble buying in, but given how well he's pitching right now, yeah, he should be more owned than 43%.
All right, so Bassett's 43% owned. Miley is 50% owned. Now, Miley got strikeouts last night, but we know that that's not going to typically happen. He will have Detroit on the road next week, and Wade Miley has now gone 24 straight starts without allowing more than 3 earned runs. So that's a useful player. Yeah, 3.18 ERA, 1.10 whip. He's going to probably get some wins. He's 3-2. He'll get you quality starts. So, you know, you have to understand how important strikeouts are for your team because you're not going to get them with Wade Miley. But it's hard to argue with his consistency and his ability to 6 innings, 3 runs or better, basically. I mean, almost every time out. So, you know, you out there, I think, can determine how much you want that on your roster. He's certainly not great, but Wade Miley is solid and could be a good streamer for you next week at Detroit. All right, I got some hitters that are on the add-o-meter. 0 to 10 for these guys. How badly do you want to add them? Or we could do the own-o-meter. Maybe we should do the... Yeah, let's do the own-o-meter, where the number corresponds to the ownership percentage. So a 10 means he should be 100% owned, a 5, 50% owned, an 8, 80% owned. Jake Bowers, in his last 21 games, he is batting .323, but it's mostly singles. It's a .432 BABIP. 9 walks,
still
20 strikeouts.
Too much.
Yeah, all right, so 0 to 10 on the Jake Bowers own-o-meter.
4.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.
Oh, well, he's
a lot of
35%
on him on the drop-o-meter.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't hit the ball hard yet. I don't want to write him off entirely because the prospect pedigree is pretty good, but he doesn't profile like a power hitter right now at all. And unless he's going to steal 15 to 20 bases, I just don't see what the appeal is.
That's Jake Bowers. How about Derek Dietrich? One thing I did not realize about Derek Dietrich is that he had a .290, .363, .496 slash line on the road last year with 12 of his 16 home runs. The two previous years he hit well on the road, but certainly not that well. But he has batted 3 straight seasons with the Marlins, 2016, 17, and 18. Derek Dietrich has batted between .284 and .293 on the road. Obviously, this is important because Christian Yelich got a huge bump, hopefully JT Realmuto the same, leaving that stupid park and going to a better hitter's park. And Derek Dietrich homered yesterday. He is having a really good year. He's hit 5 home runs in his last 6 seasons. I don't think he plays against lefties. Or 5 home runs in his last 6 games.
7 plate appearances against lefties so far.
He's 33% owned. Own-o-meter for Derek Dietrich.
I could go as high as 5, I think, given that he's not playing against lefties. He has, however, started against 7 straight righties, which is a sign that they're gaining more and more trust in him. Kind of played all over. He's eligible at 3 spots. And I do think there's I do think there's actual power there that may be translating to that park in a way, like we saw once Scooter Gennett started to get regular playing time there. So it's interesting, but again, it's when you're talking less than a full-time player, it really limits the utility.
Okay. That's Derek Dietrich.
He should be owned in all daily leagues and all hit-by-pitch league.
He gets hit by pitch a lot?
Yes. Okay. 6 times already this season. Ooh. I believe that's more than Michael Franco has unintentional walks.
That's pretty funny. All right, how about some deeper league guys? Jerod Dyson. 2 steals yesterday, and he consistently leads off against righties for the Diamondbacks. He is 8% owned. Where's Jerod Dyson on the own-o-meter? Chris Towers.
I'm going to say a 4. There's a lot of roto leagues out there, and he probably needs to be owned in most of them. I mean, we talked about him as a roto league specialist even before he was hitting well a couple of seasons ago, and now he's actually hitting well. I'm not sure how real that is, but I think it's at least worth taking a flyer on if you need stolen bases. And, you know, with D. Gordon likely going on the IL, everyone needs stolen bases right now.
Okay, so Dyson's 8% owned. Scott, Howie Kendrick, 18% owned. He's batting .325 with 6 home runs in 29 games, 9 walks, 12 strikeouts, 0 to 10 on the own-o meter for Howie Kendrick.
Yeah, that seems too low, 18. Maybe a 5 like Dietrich. Like, there's more opportunities, I think, even more opportunities for playing time for Kendrick than there is for Dietrich. And I mean, he's really been a good hitter the past few years. A lot of injuries have kept him out of the lineup, but when he's played, he has been productive, like we're seeing from him this year. The power and pace might be a little too good to be true, but he can definitely hit, and with the multi-eligibility, that can be a handy player.
Howie Kendrick. All right, Tyler Austin, Jordan Luplow. Can you guys just say no real quick on them?
I actually think Luplow's kind of interesting he's going to play with any regularity, and, you know, with Cleveland, he might.
All right, didn't see that one coming.
The past 3 years in the minors have been really good.
I should clarify. It's Luplow. Jordan Luplow.
Yeah. I would say he's like a 1.8.
Okay.
On the Ono.
All right. And Tyler Austin hit his first two home runs yesterday. They were at Colorado. We're not interested. The Dropometer is more interesting, I think, than the Ono meter today. It is headlined by Yu Darvish. It includes Kyle Freeland. It includes a 92% owned third baseman who does not have an extra base hit so far in only 9 games this season. It includes this dude on Colorado who just doesn't get any hits. So let's go to the Dropometer. And let's start with Yu Darvish. You cannot throw strikes. 6 walks, 7 strikeouts, 1 run on 1 hit in 4 innings. A very annoying start against the Marlins. He is 86% owned, and he is the most. He's not on the most. He might be on the most drop list, but he is the most asked. Should I drop? It's the best way to say this. Nobody asks. Our listeners ask about dropping Yu Darvish more than they ask about dropping any other player.
Just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. 0 to 10 on the Dropometer for Yu Darvish.
Maybe like a 5. The way I put it in today's waiver wire column is if I'm in the sort of league where prospects are being stashed in the hope they make an impact down the line, I don't know why Darvish is any less promising of a prospect than that. And I still say the main thing he's doing wrong is not throwing enough strikes. Now that's like a really bad thing because he's walking everybody. But the exit velocity is about where it's been throughout his career in terms of hard contact given up. The launch angle is actually really low. So, you know, not giving up the kind of contact that should allow a lot of power. And his swinging strike rate is the highest of his career, or at least it was before yesterday. So he's still doing some things well. He just needs to get it over the plate.
Okay.
Yeah, my only problem with, like, here's what Yu Darvish is doing right is he even doing that on purpose, given how poorly he's throwing the ball? Like, yeah, his ground ball rate is, I believe it's by far a career high, 52.8%. He's usually been a 40% guy, but I don't know how much credit to give him for that, given that he can't control where he's throwing the ball. And then there's just the fact that he's not inducing a lot of swings. He's down to 41% swing rate. It was 45 to 47 the last couple of years. That just tells me that hitters aren't really being fooled right now by him. And if Heath was here, he would make fun of the way I said that word.
What, fooled?
Fooled.
Fooled.
Fooled. Fooled. Fooled. Pool.
But you switch it.
Pull.
Yeah, because when you're supposed to say pull, you say pool.
It's the Miami accent. Mm.
I like the way Michael Caine says fooled at the end of The Prestige.
What does he say?
Fooled.
He says fooled.
He says...
That's what he said.
He says... Okay, Yasiel Puig on the Dropometer. Yasiel Puig, 0 to 10. It's a 0. I'm still buying. I'll fill in the blanks for you. I still want to buy low on Yasiel Puig. He's too good. He's too good. He's 5-0.
Yeah, he's a buy low for sure. But, you know, there's a lot of outfielders out there. There's a lot of 3 outfielder leagues out there. And
I'll go
3 on the Dropometer. Right.
Yeah, so I wrote on CBSSports.com yesterday. I kind of stole the worryometer from you, Adam, but I turned it into the concern level-ometer.
Because
I didn't want to infringe on your intellectual property rights.
Yeah, and I'm the first guy to do meters on shows, sure.
What I said about Yasiel Puig was you were betting on the talent coming into the season, and you still are, but you aren't starting him now. I don't know how that translates to dropping. I think you probably want to hang on to him or buy low. But there's not any good signs right now.
I also invented buy or sell. That was totally me. Kyle Freeland, 81% owned, 0 to 10 on the Dropometer. Freeland has a 5.84 ERA. 10 from Chris.
I mean, I'll go 8. It should probably be dropped, in standard size leagues.
Miguel Andujar, batting 143, slugging 143. He's only played 9 games, and Duhar does not have an extra base hit. He has 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. He is 92% owned. Andujar, Dropometer.
Maybe like a 2. His ownership percentage never dipped below 90, even when there was questions about whether he might miss the full season with the shoulder injury. And I think there's questions about how he performs with the torn labrum in his shoulder. But I don't think we've given him enough time yet to know if it's impacting him in any way. And obviously there's enough need for him still that his ownership percentage never dropped below 90. So I'll go 2.
We did have concerns about him losing playing time before the shoulder injury. And I do wonder, like, if the Yankees didn't have 8,000 people on the injured list, roughly, if he might have already had the surgery. If it's just kind of, they are so desperate for bodies that they're going to try and see if he can power through this. But so far, the signs are extremely, extremely poor.
And then finally, guys, Ryan McMahon, he is only 62% owned. I had mentioned this is a really big week for him. They had nothing but home games, but they did have a lot of lefties on the schedule. He started against a lefty yesterday. It didn't go well. And Ryan McMahon is batting .225 with 3 home runs, 12 walks to 28 strikeouts in 25 games, 0-10, drop-o-meter on McMahon.
Four.
7.
Ooh. Okay.
Ready to give up. Chris has given up.
I mean,
giving up the faith.
I mean, I don't know. I hope he's good. I'd love to see some evidence of it.
Scott, we have an email, and I want to get some prospect talk at some point. Actually, why don't we do it right now? Mm-hmm. We have an email.
Okay.
What do you think about Brandon Rogers? Let me just see who this email is from, so I can credit it.
He is among my top 5 prospects to stash. Obviously, McMahon hasn't gone well, and the other guy, I can't think of his name. Who's the other guy?
Garrett Hampson.
That's gone even worse for the Rockies. So it looked like a really interesting position for them coming into the season with a lot of upside. Has become a sore spot, and Brendan Rodgers, that's what he's playing most at AAA. He's their top prospect. He's had kind of an up and down minor league career, but has been much more patient this year, and the numbers have been really good over the past month or so. So I don't know how close they are to pulling the plug on McMahon, but if they do that, Rodgers seems like an obvious beneficiary. My other top prospects to stash include Jesus Luzardo, he's still not back on the mound, but I don't think it'll take long for him to get to the majors once he does return. I also think Kevin Biggio is still up there. The fact that he's 24 makes it so there's not much incentive to hold him back, really.
Give me the position when you Luzardo, Kevin, starting pitcher.
Kevin Biggio's eligible at second base, though he might be like a super utility type. He started at 4 different positions at AAA this year. A new one is Zach Gallen.
Yeah.
Is that the right way to pronounce it? Of the Marlins, who
play Old Town Road, Adam.
Oh, okay.
In an environment at AAA where offense is just off the charts because they changed the ball down there, Gallen keeps throwing like 2 hitters, 3 hitters over 7 innings with more than a strikeout per. He's not regarded for having particularly good stuff, but his command, especially he made a tweak this offseason in his delivery, and his command is just top-notch, obviously translating to big things in the minors. I don't think Sandy Alcantara is long for the role in Miami with the way he's been pitching, and it won't be long before Gallen gets his shot.
That's all I got for you, Chris. I'm not playing Old Town Road. I will play Wild Stallions from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
He could be the forgotten stallion, Zach Gallen.
Yeah, he was, I think, just like a throw-in in the Marcell Ozuna trade. And he kind of looks like the most promising member of that trade right now. And I do believe he added a little bit of velocity this offseason. There was talk about that in spring training. He looks pretty good.
Yeah. All right, so we got Biggio, yep. Luzardo, Gallen. Give me 2 more names real quick, just names.
I'm trying to remember the names.
Jordan Alvarez. Yeah, Jordan Alvarez. Stash him.
Yes, Jordan Alvarez. That's the biggest one. How could I forget him? Yes. They're actually talking about it in the Astros front office. They're in the They're in the Jeff Luhnow starts making excuses phase of his trajectory to the majors. So
his defense needs a little work.
Which it does. I mean, in fairness, he's not a good defender really anywhere, and they want him to play left field, but he could play DH right now, and it's not like they couldn't find a way to fit him in the lineup.
They just want to make sure that he's like fully ready to be a professional when he gets up.
Yeah,
and all that entails.
Like a suit. He's like an Indochino suit. Just got to be very professional. All right, well, let's pay some bills. We'll take a quick break here on Fantasy Baseball Today. Got a lot more coming up. We got some good emails to read. We're going to rank some starting pitchers. We're going to grade some Clayton Kershaw trades. We're going to update you on some bullpens. Is the Braves bullpen? Ugh. And, of course, obviously help you get your lineup set for the following or the upcoming week, week 8. Stick around. More to come on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
All right, here we go. Three emails outside Ebbing, Missouri. What a weird name for a category. But that is a great, that is one of the best movies I've seen in like a really long time.
I never saw it.
Oh, it is so good. All right, so Andrew wants to know, he implores us, you guys need to talk about how terrible Daniel Murphy is. In a platoon, in a lefty-heavy division, most people spend a fifth-round pick on Daniel Murphy. He is un-uosterable at the moment. I think that probably meant unrosterable at the moment. I have to disagree with that, but he is off to a bad start, batting 192. And he's not bad against lefties. Last year he was bad against lefties, but typically he's not. So
is he actually in a platoon, or is he just getting days off?
Yeah,
I think he's just getting days off. Yeah. I mean, he's an old guy who's injury prone. I think one of the two. So he started 2 of 4 against lefties since he returned. And so he's in the stage of his career where probably going to sit most of the time when there's a day game after a night game. So that comes with the territory. And yeah, he hasn't performed yet. You know, it's like,
but
him,
will he?
Like what, April 12th or something?
Yeah, like that's true.
It's 14 games for Murphy.
Yeah.
So are we going to put the buy low tag on Daniel Murphy?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think something like 35%, maybe 40% of his plate appearances have come at home so far as well.
Yeah, come on. He's really good. He's really good. Don't, you know, be aware that he might sit a little bit. So maybe we should downgrade him from what we thought he'd be preseason. Is he more like a seventh round pick if we were drafting today instead of a fifth round pick? But buy low on Daniel Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't drafting him in the fifth round in the first place, even though I liked him. That seventh round seems more appropriate.
I'm a little more worried about David Dahl. I don't know, like, he has sat two straight games against lefties, and he's struggling. He's batting 161 in his last 10 games, but I don't like seeing him sit against lefties. We'll keep an eye on it, but just leave him in the stinking lineup. All right, John from Philly. What is up with the lack of attention that Josh Bell is getting? On Wednesday, he hit a 474-foot home run into the Allegheny River, becoming only the fourth player to do so since PNC Park opened up in 2001. Okay, we need to give more love to Josh Bell, number 9 in points.
What do you mean more love to Josh Bell? He's the super shredder. Like we don't talk about him enough.
You guys know how far the Allegheny River is at PNC Park? This isn't like a McCovey Cove situation. You got to hit to catch it on the fly. You got to hit a freaking bomb.
He did.
He is crushing the ball right now. Like there is every sign that this breakout is real when we're talking about Josh Bell. 53% hard hit rate, which is in the top 5% of the league. Top 5% of the league in expected WOBA. 94.5 mile per hour average exit velocity with a 12% launch angle or 12 degree launch angle, which is an improvement over the last couple of years. He's a really good prospect who's worked on his swing over the last couple of years to elevate the ball more. And that's what we're seeing right now. And I think the results obviously speak for themselves, and then they're backed up by the advanced stats. So I'm very, very happy with Josh Bell right now.
And you liked him.
And that was a player I loved.
Yeah, that was a good call. So
it was.
Better than my Yu Darvish player I love. Would you rather have Josh Bell or Joey Gallo? Joey Votto. Josh Bell or Joey Votto?
I'd certainly rather start Bell right now.
That's not what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounded like you were.
I never asked that.
I don't see why there's any reason to make that choice. I'm going to choose Votto still. He deserves the full, as much patience as I can afford any player. Joey Votto deserves it. And as we sit here on May 10th, it might be late June before I really start to think about phasing Votto out for my fantasy team.
Okay. How about our third email, Jesse from Atlanta? Since being demoted to AAA, Malik Smith is hitting .474 with 5 steals in 5 games. When he was demoted, Scott Servais said it would likely only be temporary. My question is, how quickly do you think Malik Smith will be recalled, and would you pick him up and stash Smith in a roto league?
He should have never been dropped in a roto league. I mean, how many steal specialists are out there? So yeah, pick him up now before it's too late. It could be any day he returns. They could obviously mix him into the lineup. They don't, a lot of their hot performers at the start of the season have cooled off.
Yeah.
I don't think they're on the verge of like just outright benching anybody, but Malik Smith would be a part of that mix. And yeah, I mean, you don't necessarily need full-time at bats even to make a big impact in that category where so few players are capable of making a big impact.
And the other thing to keep in mind with Seattle is they started off the season awesome, and it was like, oh, hey, maybe they're not rebuilding. They're rebuilding. The team has just completely run out of gas. They had a bunch of really good performances early on, but they haven't been able to sustain those. Most of, like Scott said, a lot of the guys who were incredible early on, Domingo Santana is one of them, have slowed down. I think they probably go into sell mode pretty soon, and that doesn't necessarily guarantee they'll be making trades, but I would guess by the end of July, Jay Bruce isn't on this team. Maybe Domingo Santana isn't on this team.
Encarnacion. Yeah.
Second baseman Edwin Encarnacion. Yeah. getting some work out there to boost his trade value.
No. No, he had to play second base yesterday, and I think they hit one ball to him, and he dove for it, and he hurt his wrist, but he's fine. But Encarnacion is actually having a good year. We got to give him some credit. Would you rather have Encarnacion or Josh Bell?
I know I rank Encarnacion higher, but that's a range where it gets tricky because like they're both obviously must own. So maybe you're ranking them for trade purposes. I don't know. I'm usually going to side with the track record there unless it becomes blatantly obvious Bell is better than Encarnacion. I don't think we're to that point yet.
Scott, he really does not like my rankings questions today. I asked him, Bell versus Votto. He's like, I don't see why you'd have to do that. And then I asked him Bell versus Encarnacion. He's like, that's just dumb. Dummy.
It's not that I don't like your questions. It's just when, like, it's a range. When you're talking about the upper level of the rankings and when you're talking about slow starters versus hot starters, it's you run out of ways to defend your position and you have to come up with new ones because you get tired of saying the same thing over and over again.
You could have just answered the Josh Bell and Encarnacion question like Heath would. Josh Bell at first base, Edwin Encarnacion at DH.
He would have gone. And then he would have answered.
Well, sure.
News and notes. Buster Posey's on the 7-day concussion IL. That could be a quick one. He's hoping to play next week. Mike Clevinger, all things been pretty good so far. He's expected to return in June. Drew Pomeranz is on the IL. Danny Santana sat with Ronald Guzman off the IL for Texas, so that's a situation we will have to check out. Sean Kelly is on the IL with an infection. Jose Leclerc was bad yesterday, so how interested are you in picking up Chris Martin?
I think the clocks are starting to play for him or something. Yellow.
Yeah.
Viva la vida.
Yellow, like a yellow light on picking him up, or are you saying...
Viva la vida on Chris Martin's save time.
Yeah, I think you're like a scientist.
This is working really well. This is just... We're really riffing. We're flowing.
You're the scientist of Coldplay puns today.
Those improv classes have really been paying off.
Scott, you're very interested in picking up Chris Martin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't know what kind of infection it is for Kelly. I haven't seen any reports of that, but if it's serious enough to put him on the IL, it could be one of the bad ones. And I mean, Martin's been pretty good this year. He has allowed 3 home runs, which has inflated his FIP. Obviously not many innings for a relief pitcher, but he's not a fly ball pitcher. I don't think that's really going to be an issue for him going forward. And since Leclerc having issued 3 walks yesterday, it's not really showing signs of being ready to step back into the role. Like, Martin could theoretically take this job and run with it. As of last night, he was only 6% owned. So obviously there's a lot of room for that to go up.
He also
throws the baseball at the speed of sound.
He also just bought a Malibu home for $5.5 million, although that could be the Coldplay guy. It's probably the Coldplay guy.
He told the manager about the ninth inning situation. I will try to fix you.
This is enough. Luke Jackson blew a save yesterday, but he was used as the closer, and then AJ Minter was bad. He lost the game in the 10th. And let's be fair to Luke Jackson. He gave up 4 runs in his first appearance of the season, and this was last night his first run allowed since March 28th. So he has actually been really good. D. Gordon was hit by a pitch on the wrist. X-rays were inconclusive, but apparently J.P. Crawford was scratched from his AAA game. So it could be an IL stint for Gordon, and it could be a call-up for Crawford. Chris Davis hopefully will return today. Aaron Hicks will likely return Monday. Jed Lowry is not going to be activated today. He is not hitting well, so they're going to take some time with Jed Lowry. Steven Matz does end up going on the IL with a nerve issue in his elbow. Albert Pujols is the 3rd player in MLB history with 2,000 RBIs. He hit a home run to get there, and the fan is keeping the ball. Okay, so he's probably the 5th player because Babe Ruth and Cap Anson probably did it, but they weren't counted as official stats before 1920. Thank you, Chris. Jesse Winker sat with quad tightness, and Edwin Encarnacion appeared at second base, but don't get used to that. Don't expect him to pick up second base eligibility. We got to take one more quick break on Fantasy Baseball today, and when we come back, grade the trade, Twitter polls, most added list, are we still buying it? Angels in the route field, Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. And more stupid puns right after this on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.
Okay, grade the trade. The Clayton Kershaw edition. This is for, what are you laughing at, Scott? Angels of the route field?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
You're the guy who's reading his own tweet on the air.
What do you mean? Oh, like
you know what I mean.
Like I'm literally reading my own tweet?
You tweeted that like 12 hours ago.
Oh, but I tweeted it when I wrote the segment into the show notes. Like the show came first, then the tweet, then I said it on the air. Grade the trade from Chris. I give up Benintendi and Kershaw. I get Judge and Corbin in a points league. Benintendi and Kershaw for Judge and Corbin.
C minus.
Yeah, it's. I might even go D plus. Like we have no idea when Judge is getting back.
Yep, that's the thing.
It could be months. It could be 6 weeks. But it's gonna be a while, and I think you sold low on Benintendi here, and while Corbin is better than Kershaw, not by a huge amount.
Ben from Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, grade the trade in a categories league, 10-team categories league. Kershaw and Brantley for Jose Ramirez. Kershaw and Brantley for Jose Ramirez.
I mean, I definitely rank Jose Ramirez the highest of these three.
F plus.
And it is 10 teams, which makes it it's more justifiable. I just it's really hard to give up a high end pitcher like that. And Brantley obviously must start, I think, even in a 10 team league. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'd go C minus.
F plus and a C minus. All right, before we get
I mean, are we 100% sure Brantley's not as good as Ramirez?
No, but well, I mean, I think if you're playing fantasy baseball, you got to probably still think that Jose Ramirez is better than Brantley. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, definitely just expect more steals from Ramirez than Brantley.
Yeah.
That might be it at this point.
Oh, please don't be right about that.
I hope
well,
I'm
it's,
wrong.
It's more it's as much to do with like Michael Brantley's a good hitter than anything else, right? I mean,
yeah, no, he's just really good. He fits in that park and lineup really well. He's been I think I read he has the most wins above replacement of any free agent signed this offseason.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even ahead of Corbin?
I believe so. Maybe it was any position player, but yeah, that was what I saw yesterday.
Even ahead of Giovanni Urshela? All right, so a couple Twitter polls to update you on here. I went back to the debate from yesterday. Your team's down 5-0 in the sixth inning. You're at the game. The opposing pitcher has a no-hitter. What would you rather see? You're there in person. A, your team's comeback win. B, a no-hitter. People, what's wrong with you? 60%.
Ridiculous.
60% said your team's comeback win.
There is no honor in like being a fan in and of itself. And this is just, you're rooting against history. You're rooting against something that you will never get the chance to see again.
It's true.
So that your team can win one random regular season game.
I came to see a win for the hometown team. That's why I'm there. That's why
I want to watch baseball.
You know, well, okay, maybe you're just not a big enough fan, Chris. Maybe that's what it boils down to.
So when
other pitchers throwing a no-hitter, you're rooting for the pitcher as opposed to your own team.
Like, oh, absolutely. When Roy Halladay threw his perfect game against the Marlins, like once we got to like the 6th, 7th inning, I was 100% rooting for Roy Halladay to get that.
Yeah.
I want to watch standout athletes standing out. I don't want to watch something that happens probably 5 times per season. Like a 4-run comeback, you're at that game, you're going to forget that game in 3 weeks.
It's true.
You will never forget having been at a no-hitter.
He's right. He's right, folks. He's wrong 100%. About one. He's wrong about something, though.
Go to, but I've never been the type of person to go to that many games that I can really forget any of them. I think it's annoying. I think it's kind of annoying personally when the opposing pitcher's throwing a no-hitter, he loses it late in the game, and the home crowd or the road crowd in this pitcher's case starts to applaud. Like,
I love it.
Oh, it was a good effort. Like, no,
jeez,
no,
Scott.
You should be happy you lost.
Ebenezer over there. All right, and then Chris is really wrong about this Twitter poll. It was my Twitter poll, but his take is wrong. Which of these three songs is the best ska song? Sell Out by Real Big Fish, The Impression That I Get by the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, or Superman by Goldfinger, which I had to go and listen to on YouTube. I had heard it. I didn't remember that I heard it, but I've heard that song. It's okay. It's really very okay.
It's such a good song.
Well, it's tied with Sell Out at 29% for second place. The Impression That I Get, and I think this is the right answer, wins the poll at 42%. So
I'm just going to quote you and the very rude thing that you said on, I believe, Tuesday's podcast, which was, quote, 40% of my Twitter followers are idiots.
No, apparently 60%.
I believe this rule holds in this case.
No, 60%, because those are the 60% said your team's comeback win over a no-hitter. Let's go to the most added list.
True. Good point.
Martin Perez and Anthony DiScofani are 1 and 2. They are 84% and 73% owned, respectively. Jake Odorizzi is 84% owned. Derek Dietrich, 34%. How about Jeffrey Rodriguez at 33% owned? And then Spencer Turnbull at 55% owned. Do any of the starting pitcher ownership percentages seem out of line or out of whack to you? Martin Perez, DiScofani, Odorizzi, they're all 73% to 84% owned. And then you've got Turnbull at 55% and Jeffrey Rodriguez at 33%.
Odorizzi will seem high when he's not on a 2-start week. Like, I would imagine he will come back down after.
He's a 2-star pitcher next week, Odorizzi?
I believe he's a 2-star pitcher this week, right?
Yes. Yes? Maybe?
Yeah, probably. I don't think 55 is too high for him.
No.
He said he was 73.
He's 80. Odorizzi is 84. Spencer Turnbull is 55%.
That's too much.
55?
Yeah. 84.
Is too much? Oh, for Odorizzi.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a two-star pitcher this upcoming week, so it's probably not going down. But yeah, I don't think he's not even necessarily among my advisable two start options for this week. Maybe in a points league, but that's it.
Okay. Sorry to be a jerk face, but I don't see him. I think he's a two start pitcher this current week.
Well, Adam, I just went through this last night.
No. Well, he's not listed currently as a.
Yeah, I think what happens is they have a doubleheader this weekend, so the projected starters tool is kind of messed up because of that.
Well, he pitched
based
on the
fourth. My calculations, he's a two-star pitcher this upcoming week.
I think Scott's wrong. What else on the most added list? Danny Duffy, 31%. Chris Bassett, 44%. So Duffy, Bassett, and Spencer Turnbull. If these guys are available in your leagues, are you adding any of them?
I mean, it just depends how, if what kind of space I have. I would like to add both Turnbull and Bassett.
I think Bassett's a dog.
I already made a Bassett Hound joke the other day, Chris.
No, I didn't hear it.
It was at the very end of yesterday's show, and it was, if people who love prospects are prospect hounds, what do you call people who love Chris Bassett? And Scott was disgusted. He was like, are they Bassett House?
Yeah.
And I was like, yep.
I mean, did I really need to answer it at that point? It was such an obvious.
That's why you go with the misdirect.
Well, I'm not that quick on my feet, Chris.
Hey, Scott.
I don't know. What are we projected to go Monday? I'm looking at it again.
It's projected to go right.
Two-star pitcher.
No, he's not going to be.
No, he's wrong.
Oh.
Two-star pitcher.
He pitched on May 4th. How is that? He pitched on May 4th. That was 6 days ago. He's probably okay. We'll find out. You and I will we'll talk about it on Monday. Okay, last guy on the most added list, Jorge Soler, 52% owned. What do you think about that? Soler,
he's fine.
He's giving you good power. Strikes out way too much. He's a top 10 sleeper hitter for me this upcoming week, but. I don't see much reason to own him in like a three outfielder league.
Yeah, he's kind of like the ultimate replacement level hitter right now, I think, in fantasy. Just because what he provides you is available everywhere and he doesn't really do much besides hit homer. So,
yeah,
like he's fine to have if you need someone to replace either a slumping bat or someone who gets hurt, but definitely not a must-own.
Soler leads baseball with 53 strikeouts, so that's obviously going to tank his points league value, but I start him in two roto leagues. Both of them are five outfielder leagues. Okay, I stink at producing this show. There is so much to get to and about 10 minutes left, so that's pretty bad on my part, and I apologize. So let's go fast here. Tell me, are you still buying
it? Wait a second.
I know. He doesn't.
Jake Odorizzi.
I know.
Jake Odorizzi's pitching tonight.
Yep, I know.
Tonight.
I know. Yeah. Not a two-star.
So
pitcher.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to double check that, I guess. I don't know what happened there.
Okay, are you still buying it? These guys got off to hot starts and haven't been so good lately. So I really need you to be quick, guys, so we can fire through the rest of the show. Yoan Moncada, are you still buying it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yandy Diaz, are you still buying it?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I am, because the plate discipline's still been really good, even though he's been slumping.
I'm pretty sure last I saw his... One of the big things about him was, well, he hits the ball hard. The Rays are a stats-heavy organization, and they're going to coax better results out of him. And right now, his launch angle is actually lower than it was last year. And so is his average exit velocity, and so is his hard hit percentage. And so that doesn't really back up what we thought was happening with Yandy Diaz.
Trey Mancini, are you still buying it?
No.
Ish.
Okay. Batting average has still been pretty good. Okay.
The batting average might be pretty good. It's more the power production? Is it going to be enough to make him a real standout? Somebody you want even in a three outfielder league?
Jason Hayward, are you still buying it?
No.
No.
Michael Franco, are you still buying it?
Absolutely not.
No.
Chris, very harsh today. Not buying it. We're not buying it with most of these guys, but we are with Yoan Moncada, and Chris is not, but Scott is with Yandy Diaz. Angels in the rout field. They won 13-0 yesterday. They routed the Tigers. Cole Calhoun, 42% owned. He had a good game. Tommy La Stella has already set a career high in home runs, and he has 9. He had 10 home runs going into 2019 in 396 games. That was interesting. And then Felix Pena didn't start the game. They had an opener, but Felix Pena threw 7 scoreless innings with 7 strikeouts, and he has pretty good numbers this year. Scott, you want to say anything about the Angels, Cole Calhoun, Tommy La Stella, and Felix Pena?
Calhoun and La Stella both are in my top 10 sleeper hitters for next week. La Stella is getting to be pretty interesting because there is no real track record of power in either the majors or the minors. The fly ball rate is up, and it's obviously gone on long enough that I don't think we can just continue to laugh it off. I mean, he has 3 2-homer games this year. And his strikeout rate, like the main thing he does is make contact. Like that hasn't been stifled by this power outburst. His strikeout rate would have led the league last year. He walks a lot more than he strikes out.
Come
like the
on,
biggest thing
bad.
Holding me back from picking up La Stella at this point is that he doesn't play against left-handed pitchers.
But he's bad. But he's bad. He's in a hot streak. Like this guy's got the worst track, the worst
streak.
Career.
He does have
the worst
an average exit velocity after not really hitting the ball hard at all. Prior to this, his average launch angle and fly ball rate are up. So given the offensive environment, it is conceivable that he could sustain a career power pace, but it kind of feels like every time Eric Sogard joins a new team and he's good for like 3 weeks, you know?
But 9 home run. I mean, Sogard's never hit 9 home run.
But look at the segment that we just did. We just said we're not buying it anymore for Trey Mancini, Jason Hayward, Michael Franco, and half of Yandy Diaz. So
it's a different standard.
Well, I mean, La Stella's out-homered all of them, right? Even Moncada. Like this,
I don't know.
Like, if a hot streak for past La Stella would have been like, you know, 2 home runs over a 3 or over a 6 week stretch, 9. I don't know. Like,
right, but it's still just 6 weeks.
Yeah, but it's 9. Like, I'm not saying he's gonna hit 40 home runs, but
I am.
It's okay.
No, that's my question.
A career best power pace for him would be 12 home runs from this point on.
Yes, but his plate discipline's so good that if he finds his way into every day at bats, particularly with second base eligibility, that would still be super valuable in fantasy. And look, he's only 30% owned. I haven't added him in anything of a standard size because of that playing time question. But he's not disinterested. I'm not disinterested in La Stella.
Okay. All right, here's our next segment. I'm going to say like 15 pitchers, and you're going to give me a 1 to 2 sentence thought on them. J-Hap.
He went back to throwing to emphasizing the four-seamer yesterday, and so the strikeouts were back after doing the two-seamer thing. He's always going to be hard to pinpoint because he kind of changes his approach like that.
He's fine.
Joe Musgrove.
Joe Musgrove certainly thinks he's fine. He said he watched the tape of his performance twice after leaving yesterday's game and thinks there's just a couple small tweaks he needs to make. The 5 walks, I mean, that's the most he's ever had as a professional. Majors, minors, he's never done that before. So I think that's a total fluke.
Okay.
But obviously two bad starts
okay.
in a row.
Okay.
Too long. Sorry. We should have talked about him earlier.
Mike Soroka.
Mike Soroka.
He's good.
Must start?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Luke Weaver.
Close.
Luke Weaver.
Must own. Available in 12% of leagues. Go get him.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's on all my leagues.
The cutter seems to be the third pitch he was lacking. He tried for the curveball last year; didn't go well. Cutter's going better.
Rich Hill.
He'll be okay.
Yeah.
Mike Minor.
I think we might have seen the start of him turning.
No,
back
I don't think so. Pumpkin. I don't think so. He's got some good stuff, man. I watched that start. Like, his pitches move, yeah, he's got velocity, he's got an arsenal. I don't think he's going to turn back into a pumpkin. I don't think he's going to be crap, but
he wasn't crap last year. He was fine.
He has a lot of pitches that are effective, in that I always like that, as opposed to just if there's one and he has to figure out a way to make that unpredictable. This wasn't really that bad of a start,
yeah.
Especially considering the Astros. I'm not abandoning my faith in Minor based on this start.
Okay. Rank Musgrove, Soroka, Weaver, Minor.
Minor, Musgrove, Weaver, Soroka. I'll move Weaver ahead of Soroka.
Weaver, Soroka, Musgrove, Minor.
I think we have to look at two star pitchers now.
Backward. Yeah.
Scott,
I've totally lost my faith in knowing what a two star pitcher is, even though I should be the most prepared of anyone.
Scott, double headers screw things up, so I forgive you.
Yeah, I think what it would be.
I went day by day to try and figure out who was starting for the Twins and what's the other team, the Tigers, I think.
You know what? Look, you're busy getting a Mother's Day gift for your wife. I forgive you. Let's take a look at two star pitchers now. Yeah. Are you going to start Joe Musgrove at Arizona and at San Diego?
Yes,
I think so.
All right, Mike Foltynewicz is apparently he was supposed to be a two-star pitcher this current week, but he'll be a two-star pitcher next week, and we'll be sitting him again, right, against St. Louis and Milwaukee?
We might be dropping him.
I'm not ready to drop him, but yeah, if his velocity stays down 2 miles per hour, I don't think that's something he's equipped to survive.
Chris, do me a favor and take over from here, starting with Brad Peacock and as many guys as you want to talk about. And I will look for some weekend streamers.
Brad Peacock's an interesting one, coming off his best start of the year. He does get at Detroit to start off the week, but at Boston, Scott, does that make him more of a head-to-head than a categories league two-start option?
He's 10th in my two-start pitcher rankings and just outside of the must-start group, so I would advise him anywhere.
Brandon Woodruff at Philadelphia, at Atlanta, coming off his best start. Really good stuff. Tough match.
Yeah, I do that. In spite of the matchups.
Tyler Skaggs, great matchups, pitching really poorly. At Minnesota's not a great matchup. It's a pretty bad one at this point, but yeah. I don't quite buy them as the best offense in baseball. But Casey, are you starting him at all?
Casey's good. A good matchup. But it would be a desperation-type move in a points league. I'm not excited to start him. I do have him ahead of Foltynewicz in my rankings, though.
Eichhoff or Foltynewicz? Eichhoff versus Milwaukee versus Colorado.
Yeah, Eichhoff I'm fine with.
Sonny Gray's got really tough matchups. Cubs, yeah. Dodgers.
Yeah, he's kind of fringy. I probably wouldn't do it in a categories league, but maybe in a points league.
Kyle Gibson against the Angels at Seattle over Sonny Gray?
Yeah. No, I definitely like what Kyle Gibson has done his last three starts. He's getting a lot of swinging strikes with that slider.
Mike Fiers at Seattle, at Detroit?
No.
So if you're not starting him in this week with what looked like two pretty good matchups, he doesn't need to be owned, right?
All right, let me double check here.
No, he doesn't.
Because I don't even have him as a two-star pitcher. The fact that he's coming off a 135 pitch outing, we're always a little concerned about that the next time out. And yeah, no, I think it was pretty fluky what he did.
He's only 32% owned, but if you're not starting him in a two-star week against good matchups, I don't know when you are. Jonathan Loaisiga, Baltimore and Tampa Bay. Do we think he makes both starts?
I'm not starting.
There's a good chance he starts. Stinks. Yeah, but I'm not. I'm just not that interested.
Got good stuff.
He does have good
and
stuff.
And on the lower end, not a lot in the really, truly low end. Wilmer Font might be a two-start pitcher. Is that true?
Yeah. Looks like he probably will be.
Two good matchups. At Washington is not a bad matchup at this point, and then at Miami is a great one. Any interest at all in him as a streamer? 0%.
No, I mean, no, not really. It seems like it could do more harm than good. There's nothing. Like, it's just a total stab in the dark, I feel like.
Good stuff.
You're good. Like, you're done?
I'm done.
Okay. So here's what I've got for you. Well, first of all, Tyler Malley, pick him up. He's at San Francisco, and he's doing some good stuff, and he's like 21% owned. Tyler Malley has a chance to be someone that you are going to regret not having, so pick him up. Pablo Lopez at the Mets, not bad. Mets have been ice cold lately. Spencer Turnbull at Minnesota, that's a risky one. It's a tough matchup. Michael Pineda against Detroit. Zach Davies at the Cubs. I think my favorite would probably be Yonny Chirinos against the Yankees or Griffin Canning at Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, I like Canning.
Yeah, Lucas Giolito at Toronto. Like, Giolito and Malley are maybe pick them up now, see what happens, and get, you know, beat the waiver wire kind of deal. And then Dakota Hudson against Pittsburgh is iffy, and Vince Velasquez at Kansas City. It's just he's Vince Velasquez, but I think, what do you think? I think Canning is a great option. I think Yonny Chirinos is a really good pitcher. Tyler Malley. Am I crazy on Tyler Malley?
No. I think he deserves to be way more owned than he is. He's showing he's always had really good command, really good control, but the stuff seems to be a little better this season. And, you know, you said he's at San Francisco?
Yeah.
I thought he should have been started as a two-star pitcher versus San Francisco and then at San Francisco. So, yeah, I'm all in on starting him, and he'll probably get rocked somehow.
I'm going to start him. I'm just confirming that I actually own him in this league, that I'm going to start him. All right, so you got some options there. And do I have Tyler Malley? I do have Tyler Malley. All right, everybody wins. Hey, happy Mother's Day, everybody. Watch us on CBS Sports HQ on Sunday. Have a great, great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. For Scott and Chris, I'm Adam. See you later. We'll talk to you on Monday on Fantasy Baseball Today.